or tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 27th, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on rejection.
Bless the Lord. Well, I'm going to see tonight without my lamp, in Jesus' name. This morning when I was dressing, how many of you know that logs in your eyes come in through judging others? The Lord showed me this, and I believe it's the root to macular generation. When your macula gets consumed and pieces break off, I believe the Lord showed me this morning they're logs. A few weeks ago, now this isn't the message, but this was something God spoke to me this morning. I had a little black thing go across this eye this morning. And I thought, a few weeks ago, before I started repenting, it was like a black mesh that wasn't affecting my vision, but it would be like putting a black string in water and swishing it. It would move over here, and that, it was like a netting, like it wasn't affecting my vision, but it would move over. I said, "Oh God, show me what this is." And by His grace, I didn't run to the doctor and say, "Doctor, tell me what's wrong with my eye." I started asking God what's wrong with my eye. And let me encourage you that when you have a physical problem, and this is not to condemn anybody because we've all gone to the world for answers, but God says when I keep silent about my sin, my body wastes away. You say, "Well, you know, I don't have any sin. I'm walking as uprightly as I know how to walk." Sure, but look at all the things that have happened in your life that you've long forgotten. And so go into the world for answers, and please know this is not condemning anybody because we've all gone, and who's to say we won't go again? But go into the world to take medication will temporarily alleviate some of your symptoms, but in the long term, it doesn't do anything to find the spiritual root to why you got what you got. And so when you keep silent about your sin, the things you've long forgotten, your body will waste away. That's what the Word says. And the Bible says that He sent His Word to heal you, not folks. And so you're putting, what you're doing is putting a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. And if you've got a spiritual physical problem, we all got spiritual problems. But what the Lord showed me about this thing, mesh coming across my, it didn't come all the way across. It would just come there and it didn't move back. Lord, show me it's from judging. I've judged everybody in the whole world. And so when you see something about someone else, God's showing you that. You have a gift of discernment. He's showing you that so you can pray for that person. But when you just see it and stuff it, it becomes an automatic judgment. God gives you discernment. Bill Gothard says that a critical spirit is a misguided gift of discernment. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And we bind you, Satan, on this earth, declaring that you are bound in heaven. For whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we bind you from the internet off, people that are watching by the internet. We bind you from this meeting. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. What the Lord showed me was about judging others. And so I started saying, "Lord, show me every person I have judged. Lord, please don't spank me anymore. I want to repent before I get a spanking." Because if we don't, if we're heading in the wrong direction, we get disciplined. And I'm being disciplined. This is a discipline. I've got some other little things that are a discipline. And I don't want any more discipline. I want to repent before the discipline. I'm saying, "Lord, take this thing out of my heart so that I won't be a person that judges. Give me your eyes, Lord, your eyes of compassion to see people the way you see people and not the way I see people. You know, when we judge, we're really taking credit for what God's done in our life. In other words, if you're judging somebody for being stupid or incompetent, it's you're really saying, God, I'm so smart and I'm so competent, and I'm taking credit that God gave me a brain. He made me competent. He made me want to work. He's the one. It's all His grace. But this morning when I was dressing, now this thing that was coming over here is I might see it for a minute once a week. It's gone. But this morning in this eye, there was a little black speck that came across. And I said, and it was like the Lord just spoke this from heaven. Get the logs out of your eyes and you can see clearly. So what the Lord spoke, the revelation of that, you know, it says in Matthew, judge not lest you be judged by your standard of measure. It's measured back to you. And it talks about you've got a log in your eye. Take the log out. Then you will see clearly how to get the speck out of someone else's eye. But the revelation this morning was, you know, when we've been diagnosed as having macular degeneration, where there's floaters and pieces breaking off of our macula, we feel hopeless that that'll ever get fixed. But what the Lord was showing me this morning, every time I get a log out, one of those floaters goes. Glory to God. That was a revelation to me. Praise the Lord. It gave me hope. Hey, there is an answer. As I deal with the logs in my eyes, He will take out those floaters. It's a spiritual problem. All of our problems really are a spiritual problem. Last time I was at the camp, I taught a message, and I'm telling you, I didn't even know what I said. And when it was over, somebody said, Jerry, have you lost weight? I couldn't even tell them. I totally lost my memory. And it scared me. Because I've always, in fact, this is one of the things the Lord showed me when I started saying, and, you know, by His grace, I didn't run to the psychiatrist and say, I've lost my memory. God says, present your body to me as a living sacrifice and be renewed and transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the Lord began to show me some things about my mind. We had ministered to a girl who'd been under a voodoo curse for a whole year. And had no memory. The Lord showed me I'd laid hands on her too suddenly. Because it says you receive her sin. And then as I began to examine, I looked up all the scriptures on mind. All the scriptures. And right now I'm looking up all the scriptures on remember. And oh my goodness. And I was prayed up and confessed up. I saw so much sin in my life. Remember from where God has brought you. You know, when we judge others, we're not remembering where God brought us from. We're thinking, you know, we're just so wonderful. And we've forgotten, hey, we would be right where these people that we judge are if we hadn't had God's grace. Another scripture that really spoke to my heart was having a lowly mind. Oh, dear God, I've had such a haughty, arrogant mind. Oh, my goodness. And that's one of the roots to high problems, which is really tied in. It's all tied in. And another thing the Lord showed me was my son, who's my pastor, said to me one day, and he meant this as a compliment. He said, Mother, you've got a mind like a steel trap. And he meant it as a compliment. I took it as a compliment, and I really was priding myself in the fact that I had a mind like a steel trap. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Anyway, the Lord, I'm in the process of looking at scriptures on the mind, remember, forget, think, because when I am 106 years old, I want to have a good memory. I don't want to exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator, and you get turned over to a reprobate mind. You don't have to have a reprobate mind. But see, everything you go through, God's got something to teach you. And can I tell you, it's not out there in the world. It's not there. It does not solve your spiritual problem. Now, that's not the message today, but that was what the Lord spoke to me this morning because that came right from His throne. Another thing the Lord showed me, and I gave that the message I taught where I lost my memory. I told Carla. Carla left with a splitting headache, and I think the message gave her a headache. She says no, but when I listened to it on the way home, I thought it almost gave me a headache. I said, you know, Perla, I can't remember using that scripture, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. She said, you said it about 15 times. So as I was listening, going home, everything I said on that thing, I said about 15 times. And the Lord, and I kept saying this over and over, when I have a problem, I always ask the Lord to show me the root of it, and then I repent, and that problem's over, and then He shows me something else. That's the sanctification process. And going home, what the Lord showed me was, that principle is a principle that people don't get. You can say it one time. The Lord showed me that that needed to be said over and over and over where people would have received it. And if I'd have known what I was saying, I would have only said it once or twice. You see what I'm saying? But if you don't ever get anything else, don't go to the world to ask the doctor what your problem is. Ask God, the great physician, what your problem is. You see what I'm saying? And you'll get, and you know what? You'll get better and better and better. You don't have to get senile when you get old. So I just want to share that. And so praise the Lord. But it really troubled me about my mind. I thought, what's happening? Because I've always prided myself in my memory. Well, there's a lot of things God wants to show us. You know, esteem other people better than you esteem yourself. Oh my goodness, the pride that's in our life. We forget that what we have, God gave us. Well, this message is on rejection. How many of you know that rejection is a spirit? It's an evil spirit. And I think all of us have suffered rejection. And I want to say this up front. Recently, when you keep getting shoved aside and pushed to the end, and you're always, it seems like you're always standing out on the outside looking in, and when it seems like other people are not as fun as you are and as comfortable and acceptable to be with and that are more acceptable and comfortable to be with, I was mulling that over. Why do I always get pushed to the end or on the outside looking in around certain people? And God spoke this so clearly to my heart. He said, be encouraged. And I'm going to say this up front because this is a rejection that if they rejected Jesus, and He lives in you, and the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus is coming through, you will be rejected, but it's because Jesus Christ lives in you. And I don't know about you, but I don't have to say a word around family members. I can preach a sermon without ever saying a word. And you know what? It's not comfortable. It's not accepting when other people might accept anything you do. And they might want to know what color, what you do every step of the day. And they may be more fun to be with. But what the Lord spoke to me, Jerry, be encouraged when other people perceive you as not being fun or comfortable or as accepting to be with. God has given you a unique and a special place in people's lives to give them a gift that will affect them throughout eternity. And when you walk the narrow way and you separate the holy from the profane and you stand for righteousness, can I tell you, the more you repent, the more you walk the narrow way, the fewer people are going to walk with you. And you might as well get used to that. You might as well accept that. You'll never be popular. You'll always be on the outside of the clique group because people with a religious spirit, and Carla's going to teach on that today, people with a religious spirit, they're hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. They're deluded, is what the word says. And there's an antichrist spirit working in them that you can tell them what God's word says, and it's, yeah, but I don't believe this. This is what I believe. Who cares what you believe, and who cares what I believe? It's what God's word says that counts. But rejection is a spirit. And the Lord said, you'll never fit into that place of fun and comfort if you're going to follow me. You will be rejected, Jesus said, because He was rejected. So what makes you think you're so special if He's living in you and He's reigning in your life? The closer you get to God, the further away you'll get from religious people. It's only people that have been born again that have a heart for truth that will receive the message you have. And so, up front, I'll say that's the kind of rejection you can expect. But today I want to talk to you about the rejection that comes in through dysfunctional families, through the traumas you've gone through. And it's an evil spirit. And it kind of wants to eat us for lunch. It wants people to keeps you and it keeps other people from loving you and valuing you from God's perspective and God's point of view. Rejection communicates disrespect me, shove me to the end, rebuff me, disregard me, throw me away, shun me, treat me as insignificant. And I want to say this to you wives and the husbands too, but quit making sport out of your husband and making him look like a fool. And I guess it's so grievous to me because I, you know, when I saw recently, I was at a ball game and I saw a lady making a sport out of her husband, and it grieved me so, it grieved me so much. You know why it grieved me? Because I used to do the same thing. You see, that was a log in my eye. And I'm not proud of that. But we're so ignorant. We think we're so smart and we're so ignorant. In hindsight, and husbands, don't put your wife down. I don't see husbands doing it as much as I see women, Jezebel women doing it. And so thank God he wants to deliver us from a Jezebel spirit. And it's rejection to make a fool out of your husband, to present him. You know, especially if that's the only time you laugh is when you make sport out of your husband. That is sad, and it grieves God, and he's not pleased. Rejection works in me to set me up for other people to treat me just like I'm treating myself. You know, a spirit of rejection will draw people to reject you. Now, this is the kind of rejection that you can get delivered from. You don't have to have this kind. Rejection causes others to distance themselves from you, and it's the spirit of hate. You know, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not boastful, love is not rude, love does not seek its own way, love does not act unbecomingly, love does not rejoice in a wrong suffered, love does not rejoice in a wrong suffered, but love, it says the greatest of these is love. And if we don't have God's love, you know, when we make sport of other people, and it don't just have to be husbands and wives, when we make sport of people and make fun of people, can I tell you that's a spirit of hate? And God says for us to fulfill his covenant, we have to love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And if we don't do that, we're covenant breakers, and there is a strict judgment. You know, many, many of our physical problems are a result of having a hateful, mean, angry disposition. Anger is not acceptable. Anger is not acceptable. And God says if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a one-time anger, but it is a practice, a habit, a custom, and a lifestyle. And God says that if we practice anger, we'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Recently, I heard a husband say to his wife, he was wanting to thank her for all of her hard work for cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and she deliberately did not answer him or even look at him. Is that telling me that is an angry person? Somebody's trying to love you and trying to speak kindly to you, and you don't even answer them, you disregard them. That's rejection. And you know what? The love of money and selfish ambition will cause you to reject the things that God has given you to enjoy. And it'll cause you many a pain. And I can tell you that one of those roots to sickness is that pain of selfish ambition and the love of money. We all can use money to pay our bills, but when we love it more than we love Jesus and we have selfish ambition, we can be mad at our mate because they're not making $500,000 a year. Right? Love is acceptance, and a person who is loved is covered and cherished. You know, Tom taught last night a wonderful message on how when a father rejects his child, that even in the womb, he uncovers that child. If love covers a multitude of sins, hate uncovers. And so that's why where parents are told to provoke not their children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Rejection means to be accepted or to not be accepted or received. It's a setback or a negative response, a rebuff, a brush off, a cold shoulder, defeat, denial, disapproval, discouragement, dismissal, repudiation, refusal, repulse, snub, deliberate coldness or disregard, snub, put down, rebuff, rejection, slap in the face, to be slighted, cut, an indication of unwillingness to do or accept something, refusal, denial, disapproval, nixing, turn down, and veto. Those are some of the words that rejection means. Now, in the Bible, years ago, when I would be in a group of peers, I would always feel like I was on the outside looking in. This is Christian peers. And I would go to the ministers' meeting in Lindale when I was a pastor, and I could just feel like a wall. And so one day I looked up all the scriptures in the Word about God of being cut off, which means rejected. And even after today, there's going to be some more things the Lord wants to show you about rejection, many things, I'm sure. But I went through all the scriptures in the Word of God on cut off. And repented over them, broke generational curses, didn't even understand all of it. The next time I went to that minister's meeting, it was like, Jerry, where have you been? We've been missing you. And I went, who are they talking to? I wasn't used to that. So that phase of kind of rejection, I don't feel it anymore, but you feel it around religious people today. And so the Word of God tells us we're loved, we're adopted, we're accepted in the Beloved, and the devil wants to rob that from us. He wants to steal it. And we all know the deep sting of rejection. All of us have rejected others and been rejected. And all of us have an innate longing to be accepted and be loved, especially by the special people in our life. But we might as well get used to the fact that we're not going to be accepted by everybody. And that's why when you're around people that have been born again, truly born again, not religious, it's why you feel loved and accepted. And I love Lake Hamilton because I feel loved and accepted here. That's not why I come. I come because I want to serve the Lord. But it's a place that loves others. When we agree with rejection, it opens up us up to fear and fear of man. It causes teenagers especially to get in trouble because they are looking for love in all the wrong places. It causes us to compromise. The Bible says fear of man brings a snare. Rejection will cause us to be snared because we fear man more than we fear God. When a child feels rejected by his parents, he'll do one or two things. He'll either just say, I can't do nothing to please them, so to heck with it, I'll just show them what a rebel can be. Or they'll become a perfectionist. When I perform, I'm loved. When I, and I can't be perfect, and so I just say to heck with it. I'll show them what a rebel really is. Jesus became rejection for us. He became sin. He was rejected and he was despised by all men. And consequently, if we have a spirit of rejection, the wrong kind, then we're in sin. Go to Isaiah 53. You're all familiar with this passage in Isaiah 53. And I want to praise the Lord because about two or three years ago, I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't read this print in my Bible without the lamp. And I can read it today. Bless God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, it was because I began looking up all the words on blinded. And God says, blessed are your disciples because you see. Blessed are your disciples because you hear. Well, disciple comes out of words that let God discipline you. See, if you get in the Word and you're repenting over the Word, you're receiving God's discipline. And you're a disciple. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear, disciples. And so I thank the Lord for that. Isaiah 53 says, He was despised and forsaken of all men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, which means sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and did not esteem him, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs, our sicknesses, he himself bore, and our sorrows, pains, he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings, stripes, we are healed. It says in 2 Peter that Jesus died for our sins that we might, number one, die. Jesus bore our sicknesses, or by his, oh, it says by his stripes we're healed. For he himself bore our sin and our sickness, and by his stripes we're healed. And it says that he did that we might, number one, this is in 2 Peter 2:24, that we might, number one, die to sin, which is repenting over the word and finding the spiritual roots, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, and by his stripes we're healed. So before healing comes, we have to die to sin and live to righteousness. And you know what? We've got so much sin in our life. I can tell you, Jesus is the Lord and Master of my life. I can't think of one area that I'm not yielded to him. But I can start looking for answers in the Word of God, and I see so much sin in my life. And you can too. Don't go to the world for answers, because all that's doing is it's your body's being destroyed physically because you are not looking for the spiritual reason to why you've got what you've got. And that's not a condemnation. That's to give you a spiritual truth that will change your life and heal your body. And I don't say this boastful, because it's by God's grace. I do not have a doctor. I'm on no medication, but I take gospels and repent over the gospel. He pardons our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. He renews our strength like an eagle in the name of Jesus. And I didn't quote that correctly. Pardons our iniquities, heals all our diseases. He renews our youth as that of an eagle. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. This morning when we were singing, He's Our Peace, Lord, give me peace, this came to me. He says he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him. So if you're not in perfect peace, hey, your mind's not stayed on him. You've got your mind on your idol. And you think you've got all your idols crushed. No, you haven't. It's an idol to want to fit in with the crowd. It's an idol to want somebody to love you so much that you take a nosedive when they don't. You know, we can be having victory, and I'm telling you, these things cause us to take a nosedive. Everywhere you have an idol, you'll take a nosedive and you'll get depressed. And you say, well, you know, I've repented all my idols. Well, so have I, but there's still some I don't see. These logs in my eyes. Oh, my goodness. But they're leaving, because God's going to deliver me without being whipped. This is a big enough whipping. But you know what? The Lord leaves those things because so you keep getting hold of the horns of the altar. Those things, you know, and the Lord showed me that difficult people in your life, how many, if you're like me, do you have difficult people in your life? You know what the Lord's showing me? They're God's gift to sanctify you and me. And you know, the Bible says everything is sanctified by prayer and the Word of God if received with thanksgiving. We haven't been grateful for these difficult people. I haven't. Lord, change that person. God just recently showed me that I was rejecting the very thing that God had given me to perfect me. Because God uses these difficult people, usually because you did what they're doing. Or you judged your mother and father for doing it. That's what the Lord shows me continually. And when I get through learning what God has to teach me through difficult people, guess what? They're going to get sanctified. God is using, you know, difficult people. We see them as an obstacle. But they're really a gift. God, we ask you to straighten out our thinking on that. Yes, Lord. Give us understanding. But you know what? When we're wounded and we have an idol, we're blind. It's only when we go to God and say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? That he shows me. Praise the Lord. And so rejection is also a sin, because when we agree with rejection, we're disagreeing with God, who says that his total attention is on me. Deuteronomy 32:9-10. God's compared in Isaiah 49:16 to a nursing mother. I will not forget thee. I have engraven you on the palms of my hands. Well, that ought to do something for us feeling rejected. And Romans 3:21 says he's a justifier of those who love him. And I paraphrase that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you reject yourself, this ought to encourage you. You know, this Bible's worth probably about $10. But if it had a $1 million bill in it, if there was such a thing, it'd be worth $1,015,000, right? My point is, you're worth who you contain. That ought to do something for your feelings of inferiority and feeling unworthy. Hey, the King of Kings lives in you, and if you're letting him live in you, people aren't going to take to that too good. Have you noticed that when you're a fence-riding Christian and you're straddling the fence, have you noticed when you do that nobody pays any attention to it? You're just accepted by most people. You notice that? Or by the people you click around. But when you start trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem according to Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobiah say, what are these crazy Jews doing? They think they're building, they're healing the breaches. And see, all of these issues are breaches in our heart. They're holes in the wall of Jerusalem. And we are a temple. And every place we have a hole in our spiritual wall, we're being attacked. And so when we get attacked, we're saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me through that? Rejecting yourself and rejecting others, and you agree with rejection. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, He has planned for me a crown of righteousness. Galatians 5:5-6, turn there, please. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith is working through love. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. When we agree with rejection and we're really disagreeing with God, we're in sin because the Ephesians 1:4-5 says that he chose you in him before the foundations of the world and predestined us for adoption. And it goes on to say that we might walk correctly. Revelation 3:5 says that if we don't overcome, if we overcome, he'll not blot our name out from the book of life. We've got a lot of things to overcome. He uses our problems to help us know what to overcome next. You say that again. He uses your problems to show you what you've got to overcome next. Romans 8:15 says that you've received the spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:7. Thou art more than a servant, but a son and a daughter, if a son and daughter, and an heir of Christ. Hallelujah. You are an heir. Even if the whole world rejects you, you're an heir of Christ. Psalms 139. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious are your thoughts toward me. Oh, bless the Lord. Isaiah 54, thou shalt not be ashamed. because of his everlasting kindness. Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. 1 John 3:1, that we should be called sons of God. Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are numbered. What should that do about your feelings of inferiority and your rejection? Hey, God's got his eyes on you. He even knows how many hair you have on your head. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before I formed you, I knew you in your mother's womb. Acts 17:28, we are his offspring. Acts 17:26, and hath determined the times for before appointed and the bonds of their habitation. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, God says, they're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Zephaniah 3:17, he will joy over you with singing. Hallelujah. I want to be a person he joys over, don't you? And he's not pleased with our sin. But thank God for his mercy, or he had already killed all of us. He's a merciful God. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all their tears. Glory to God. Psalms 27:10, when my mother and father forsake me, God will take me up. And Carla, years ago, gave me an insight into that scripture. When my mother and father cut me loose, God will take me up. Deuteronomy 32:10. He kept them as the apple of his eye. You know how sensitive your eyes are to anybody, anything that gets in them? God is guarding your eyes. Rejection is a sin because fear of rejection, for example, will cause you to fear man more than you fear God, or care what people think more than what God thinks. It puts man's acceptance as more important than God's, causes us to compromise, has us looking for our identity in all the wrong places, in cliques, gangs, brings us to tolerate sin in our life, physical, emotional, sexual, verbal abuse in bad marriages, causes us to look for love in all the wrong places. Many people that are into sexual sin, it's because they're wanting somebody's arms around them, thinking that sex is love, and it's an expression of love between a married man and woman. But because they've received a lie that sex is love, having somebody's arms around them, 40% of believers are shacking up, cohabiting. 65% think nothing of unlimited alcohol. 35% see nothing wrong with recreational drugs. Some people are taking drugs to alleviate the pain of rejection. If your mom and dad accept you, then it doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters, but if your mom and dad do it right, they set a foundation that makes it easier for you to go through rejection when you've been accepted by your mother and father. I know my mom and dad, they weren't perfect, but they loved me. They told me the truth. They cared about me. They protected me. They watched over me. They provided for me. They always wanted what was best for me to the point that they would sacrifice their self to give me for what was best for me. And you see, that gives you a strength in your life that when you grow up and nobody cares for you, nobody's protecting you, nobody loves you, everybody rejects you. Carla and I were talking about this last night. You know, it's God's grace that we weren't one of those little kids in some foreign country that they sell into sex slavery. It's by God's grace that we didn't come out of those bloodlines. Or if we did, the good news is God wants to heal us. And He will heal us. And it begins with us living under His Lordship. Rejection has us desperately searching for love in the wrong places. God leads us, but Satan drives us. Lust takes from people, but love gives. Satan's a taskmaster. Rejection will keep us out of the body of Christ, rob us of our identity. The nature of rejection is not just an emotion or a feeling, but it's a spirit. It gets its kicks out of seeing us rejected. picks fights with loved ones, pushes them away till they do just that, reject you. I remember years ago I had a girl that had come out of Satanism, and she'd been hurt. And every person she had ever cared about or who cared about her, her family killed. And when I first started ministering to her, it was like she'd do things to get me to reject her. And I'd think, I am just not going to call her anymore. And the Lord would say, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. So then I'd go back for more. It causes you to pick fights with others. The nature of rejection is very sensitive. It picks apart words, scrambles intentions, judges facial expressions, looks at every action through a microscope, very self-centered. Your boss's sour look must be about you. Rejection has a scrambler that twists words and misinterprets what's said. It's a two-way street. I can reject others, and others would reject me. Rejection draws to me people that will reject me. It's almost like I have an expectation I'll be rejected. So it's like that expectation draws others to do that bad thing that fulfills my picture of how life goes. Rejection reminds us of the sins of our youth. Isaiah 54 says, you will not be put to shame. Forget the shame of your youth. Now, God wants us to look back in our life long enough to deal with the sin and then put your hands back on the plow and press on. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive yourself. I know there's many people that think that they have missed God. Oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I take that job? Why didn't I receive that opportunity? And the person is a godly person. Jesus has been Lord of their life. Can I tell you, you can't miss God when Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, because God says the steps of a good man and woman is ordered by the Lord. So quit regretting the past. Repent of what you need to repent of, and then press on for the prize. Hallelujah. rejection. Keeps us from being thankful and from praising God. It's all idolatry. Have you, it'll have you being a respecter of persons. Thin-skinned, touchy, and hypersensitive. Years ago, about probably, goodness, in 1987, 88, I would attend a meeting where a lady would prophesy, and the first thing she ever said to me, well, the first one I went, I thought, I bind all false prophecy. I bind everything. Because I was suspicious of her. There's so many false prophets out there that tell you what you want to hear. She said, God tells me something really strange about you. He tells me that he's going to make your hide tougher and your heart softer. And I've seen him do that, because hardness of heart is also a root to constipation. It's a root to eye problems, because your heart is tied in with your eyes, how you see. You lust with your eyes. You judge with your eyes. You covet with your eyes. You resent with your eyes. You see how your eyes and your heart ties in? Rejection will have you rejecting others. Rejection will cause you to feel overwhelmed with all the things that are wrong with you. Self-rejection. Rejection can make you feel overwhelmed. It can makes it hard for you to receive and believe a compliment. Keeps you from hearing others and then and them hearing you. Wants you to stay hurt, which leads to bitterness. And I believe anger and bitterness and meanness is the root to physical problems. And I'm not talking about anything. I mean, I'm talking about things in the present. But if you've repented of all of that, hey, there's anger, bitterness, and resentment that you don't even see. And I don't see either. And it's only as I seek God and ask Him that He shows me. Rejection will keep you being accused and always coming up guilty, and will not allow you to be comforted. Hey, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. I can be so distressed over something and get in God's presence and get a word from Him, and it changes my life. And, you know, that song that says, turn your eyes on Jesus, because the world has it go in the light of His glory and grace. Amen? And I found that to be so true. And rejection actually started when God, in Isaiah 14, kicked Satan out of heaven. I mean, he was rejected by God, and he gets his kicks out of rejecting you. Getting you rejected and getting you hurt is just, he's pleased with that. Because Lucifer exalted himself above God. God had rejected him, therefore the devil is rejected, and he wants you to be rejected. And one of the ways that he can hurt you is through a spirit of rejection. Rejection says, God didn't really mean that. He really doesn't love you. What are people going to think about you? That woman over there, she doesn't really like me or smile at me, so she must not like me. She's got a scowl on her face. I told a man once, he said, now I was in this big church, and the music director, his name was Bill, and Bill wouldn't reject anybody on purpose, but this person said, you know, Bill doesn't like me. I said, oh, that's not true. He does. Well, he looks right at me and he don't speak to me. Well, hey, Bill, that's just not Bill's nature. He would love you. He just is preoccupied and doesn't say, yes, he saw me. He looked right at me. He didn't speak to me. I said, well, then speak to him. Love him. Rejection says, that woman over there, she didn't call me. They must not love me. My best friend, he doesn't call me very often, so he must not really like me. My family, they don't really love me because they never call. The spirit of rejection will communicate to a person that he's unacceptable, that he's of no value, that he doesn't belong, that he is unwanted, and that he doesn't fit in, and that he is not loved. It'll communicate this message several ways: by a disgusted look, by an impatient answer, disdain, a snub, neglect, through abandonment, silence, coldness, disinterest, not listening to others, not listening to you, through words, and you'll be put last. Words do hurt and are a doorway to rejection. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man can sustain his sickness, but a broken spirit can't take it. You see, the areas I'm wounded, I can't handle it. It's a deep hurt, pain, fear, anger, which is all idolatry. But when I get that breach in my heart healed, I can take it. A wounded spirit, a tranquil heart is a life to the body, but envy and jealousy breaks the bones or causes my bones to be sick. Words can cause pain, and you know words can be arrows that are sticking in you in the spirit. If we've had people speak negative, lots of negative words to us, if you could see us in the spirit, we look like a pincushion with arrows in us from all the words that were spoken over us. And some of you grew up and you may have heard in the womb, like Tom said, that you were not wanted and mistake, and maybe you heard that you were the wrong sex. You weren't the wrong sex. God picks the sex, not mama and daddy. And let me encourage you, if you have a daughter-in-law or a son, you have a daughter-in-law or a daughter, or if you're young enough to have children, don't say, you know, I want a girl, it's a boy, it's a girl. And can I tell you, sonograms leave an evil spirit in a child in the womb. It's not good to have sonograms because it is intruding into a secret place. I know three little children that had sonograms, and I led them in repentance to forgive, broke soul ties with the sonogram, and they all three yawned at the same time. So don't, it's putting radiation or whatever they do to see it. It's not good. And sometimes those things are wrong. They say it's a girl and it's a boy. And that right there opens a boy up to homosexuality or a girl up to lesbianism. Because the lie is, I have to be a boy to be loved. I have to be a girl to be loved. I remember when my son, my youngest son, was a baby, or when I was pregnant with him. I don't remember saying I want a girl, but I wanted a girl. And when they, and I just thought it. You know, babies can absorb the emotions of the mother. And I just thought, you know, I want a girl, but I don't know if I ever said it. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And when they told me I had a boy, I was so disappointed. And my son, a month before he died, he said, "Mama, I've always felt like I was a girl." My son, for those of you who do not know, my youngest son died at age 25 in 1989. He died with AIDS. He lived a homosexual lifestyle. But the Lord always told me that he was going to be a mighty man of God, and I never realized it was going to be through, in fact, sometime I'd like to show it here through a DVD of his testimony, God's Greatest Regret, and that is still being shown 21 or 22 years after he died. It's still being shown on cable access TV in Tyler, Texas, and recently somebody told me they had seen it in North Carolina, that testimony. And so, and I remember when he was 2 weeks old, bathing him, my aunt had said, "He's too pretty to be a little boy." And I remember speaking over him, "You'll just have to be my little girl." You see, the words we speak, and Tom shared some of it last night, set on fire the very course of our life. And so how do you get this spirit? Generationally, it's a demon that comes down the bloodline. And it's a familiar spirit of rejection. It comes in through illegitimate curse. It goes 2,045 forefathers or something like that, which is 10 generations. A child that's illegitimately conceived is born with a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of lust, a spirit of shame, and a root of rejection. And it comes down through an illegitimate curse. And you say, "Well, my mother and father were, you know, they conceived me before they got married, but they ended up getting married." It doesn't matter if that sin was committed before the marriage. It's opened you up. And you always feel like you're on the outside looking in. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy that an illegitimate child cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. It's always being shut out. But praise God, when you forgive and break that curse, God brings you into the sanctuary. But it's got to be taken accountable for. It comes in through babies being too close together. Mother has a baby, and 9 months later she has another. She doesn't want that second baby. She might adore it after it gets here, but no mother wants a baby 9 months apart. She'd like a little breather in between. It comes in through illegitimacy. Comes into incest for a father or a family member sexually molesting a child or incesting them. That's an ultimate rejection for a daddy to sexually molest his child. That's ultimate rejection. It's rejection for a father to use the daughter as the mother, to confide in her more than he does his own wife. That's rejection. It can come in through babysitters, leaving a child constantly, leaving them out in the car while the parent's in the bar. It's abandonment. It happens the way the mother and father interact with the child, how you've been talked to. Parents believe the child should be a different sex. Any childhood or adult trauma not brought to the cross can open us up to rejection. Comes into the adopted child through being thrown away, through betrayal, through abandonment, through divorce. You know, when a daddy leaves the home, the child sometimes thinks, well, the daddy's not only rejecting the mother, but he's rejecting his responsibility to be a father. Comes in through betrayal. Divorce almost always brings in a spirit of rejection. Comes in through blended families. Naturally, you love your own children more than you love your stepchildren. Shouldn't be that way. Competing for a parent's affection. A mother getting jealous with a daughter's relationship with her father. I've heard of situations where the mother is so jealous of the daughter because the daddy's molesting the daughter, and she's jealous of the attention she gets, of the daughter, that the daughter gets. Competing for a parent for affection. Not being nurtured, breastfed. One of the roots to breast cancer is not being breastfed, because there's a bonding that comes in when mothers nurture their babies. What happens if your mother didn't breastfeed you and you're a woman And it can work. Breast cancer, men can have breast cancer too. But women, a woman, for example, that's not breastfed or not nurtured, she'll marry a husband that's not nurtured, and she'll be bitter toward him because he's not nurturing her. But see, the root of it goes back to mother. If mother does it right, then it doesn't matter if my husband nurtures me or not. It's not an issue, but it's always an issue if I let the sun go down on my anger and don't deal with it. It comes into being in an angry environment. Growing up in contention and strife. Growing up with a father who is spiritually, or a father that is a couch potato or spiritually absent. A father that works all the time and is never there. A father affirms the identity of a child. And if he's absent, then a spirit of rejection comes in. It comes in with a parent comparing themselves with the child. I know a man that lives here in Arkansas, and his daddy grew up in an orphanage, and he had all kinds of abandonment issues of insecurity. And then this boy, everything, the daddy would play with him when he was 2 years old, but the daddy always had to win. You see, that's training up a child to be a failure. And the lie is, God always beats up on me. Because however we see God, we see our earthly father. However we see our earthly parents, is unconsciously we see God the same way. It comes into conditional love. I love you if you're perfect. It comes into perfectionism. Parents want you to perform. It comes into overprotecting a child. You know, if you overprotect a child, you cause them to be a procrastinator, to hold back, because if it's like a spirit of control, and any time they try to move out, they get lambasted because they're being controlled. It opens them up to being controlled and to a spirit of control and to procrastination and a fear of moving out because they're trained up that they can't be a person, that everything they do is not good enough. So they have a fear that they're going to make a mistake, so they'll hold back and procrastinate. If I don't make a mistake, then I don't, if I don't do anything, I won't make a mistake. And that's fear that comes in through being overprotected. It's a form of rejection. Comes in through a pre-baby not being held, being in an incubator for months. There's a spirit of abandonment. The lie is nobody cares. Comes into the middle child because I'm not old enough to do certain things, and I'm too big to do certain things, so I'm just kind of hanging in the middle. Comes in through a death of a parent, or a parent leaves. Rejection in school, rejection by teachers, picked last, first crush, not reciprocated. In adulthood, it can be a spouse leaving, hurts in the church. And I'm just going to name because of time. The fruits of rejection are hurt and pain, feelings of inferiority, feelings you don't fit in or are a mistake, anger and bitterness. You reject back and you get rejection. Somebody rejects you, reject them back. Isolate yourself. If someone doesn't like you, you'll show them. Example, Cain and Abel. Cain murdered Abel. Bad physical fruit of cancer. Shame, fear comes in when you don't feel safe or nurtured. If someone doesn't like you, I won't be hurt again, so I'll build walls around my heart. Fear of rejection, a broken heart comes in. So many people, I believe, have a broken heart that's never been healed. And God wants to heal your heart. He wants to bind up that broken heart that came in through rejection. Fear of saying no, so you become a doormat and you're bitter and angry because you haven't got the courage to say, I can't do that, I'm sorry, I've made other plans. So you say yes, and then you're mad about it. And you're bitter about it. So you're a doormat. Bad fruit can be allergies and asthma. Antidote, perfect love, casts out fear. Unloving spirit, self-rejection. If somebody does not love me, I must be unworthy, and I must deserve it. Must be my fault. See this in people with low self-esteem, sorrow, self-pity, withdrawal, turtle in a shell, self-introspection and isolation. Bad fruit can be autoimmune diseases. The body starts listening to and reaching for the lies. Body attacks the body. Self-rejection, so I'm rejecting my body. And a lot of autoimmune diseases is the cause of rejecting your body. Addictions, anything to numb the pain, hypo-hyper, secretion of body, hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, either an overproduction or an underproduction. Pride, self-idolatry, if someone doesn't love me, I'll prove it to them. Performance, drivenness, fruit can be chronic fatigue, trying to earn love so I wear myself out to be perfect. Desperate search for love and identity, patterning ourselves after someone else. God wants you to be who you are on the potter's wheel because He wants to finish the work. Looking for acceptance at all costs. Gets us in bad relationships, abuse, not waiting for the spouse God intended for us to have, so we think we can't get anything better, so we settle for less. If you can't have God's man and woman, stay single. Amen. Rebellion, obedience comes out of respect. Bad fruit of rebellion can be paranoid, schizophrenia, rebellion, rejection, depression, eat and sleep because of not feeling good about yourself. Wounded spirit. The other day when I was thinking about judging, it occurred to me that when my mother and daddy had their 50th wedding anniversary, I was repenting. I thought, I didn't even go. Lord, forgive me for not going. And then the Lord showed me why I didn't go. Because I felt fat. And knowing my mother and father, they had rather me stay home than show up fat. And I forgive them for that, but I saw that being overweight caused me to isolate myself because when I lost weight, I was acceptable, and when I gained weight, I was rejected. And I think that's why God let me, one of the reasons He let me have 20 years of being overweight. And I know that's over. I used to say, one of these days, I'm going to stand here and I'm not going to be fat. And hallelujah, God delivered me. Praise the Lord, I don't even want to overeat anymore. I overate Thanksgiving, and I was so miserable. In the past, I would have thought, oh, that was so good. I wish I hadn't have done that. This time, I thought, I don't ever want to do that again. I had a pain in my stomach. And I thought, instead of being condemned, I thought, what a good lesson. It makes you feel miserable. So I thank the Lord for that. Okay, well, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. That's country Texas talk. Lord, I ask you to search my heart and test my thoughts and show me where a spirit of rejection entered me. How do I get rid of a spirit of rejection? Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And just repent of everything the Lord shows you. I know the Lord wanted me to teach this message because it ties in really with what I've heard. You can don't sit down until you're through, but you can sit down when you're through. You say it also comes in through the color of your skin. God made all of the color of your skin the same. He's pleased with every color of skin because He made your skin. Rejected, being rejected because you're the wrong color, the wrong race, the wrong culture. That's a lie right out of the pit of hell. God's no respecter of persons. Lord, forgive me for wanting to be in the in crowd with the religious folks that shoved me to the side. Forgive me for not accepting that special and unique place that you have given me to separate the holy from the profane and stand for righteousness so that I can give my family and my loved ones a gift that will affect them throughout eternity. I accept that place. I accept to walk the narrow way, though none go with me. And Lord, forgive me for being hurt and bitter at the people that have rejected me, have shoved me aside, disdained me, dishonored me, rejected me. And I forgive my parents for conceiving me illegitimately, or I forgive my forefathers for conceiving their children illegitimacy illegitimately, that would open me up to a generational spirit of rejection. Lord, I ask you to break that generational curse, soul tie curses, cultural curses. And Lord, I bring your children into the sanctuary as we forgive them in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for compromise, double-mindedness, looking for love in all the wrong places. Lord, forgive me for, I forgive my parents for uncovering me in the womb and not covering me with love throughout my life. I forgive my parents for leaving me in daycare centers, out in the car, with babysitters. I forgive my parents for not communicating love and respect and affirmation to me. I forgive my parents for rejecting me, wanting a different sex than what I am. God, forgive me for rejecting my gender. I receive myself as your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. I forgive my parents for throwing me away, abandoning me, betraying me, divorce, loving their stepkids less than me, or loving their own kids more than they loved me. I forgive my mother for not, daddy for not nurturing me. I forgive them for competition. I forgive my parents that I grew up in an angry environment, a spiritually absent father, a couch potato father, a father that worked all the time. I forgive my parents for loving me conditionally only when I did everything perfect. Forgive me for loving my children conditionally. Forgive me for perfectionism. I forgive my parents for overprotecting me, controlling me. Every time I moved out to be who I was, I got slam dunked. And it opened me up to procrastination, so I forgive them. Forgive me for fear of making a decision because I have a fear I'll make a wrong one. I forgive my parents for leaving me in an incubator. I forgive my parents that I was the middle child, not the oldest, not the youngest. I forgive my parents for dying, for leaving. I forgive teachers and classmates for picking me last and rejecting me. And I forgive churches and pastors for hurting me in the name of Jesus. And everything you've shown me, Lord, I forgive each person in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I take accountability for everything I've confessed. And I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the spirit of rejection that's come down through anything I've confessed in Jesus' name. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now I come against the spirit of rejection. I come against that evil spirit of rejection. I come against shame and lust. I come against rebellion. I come against the bastard curse and every illegitimate curse in the name of Jesus. I come against feelings of inferiority. I break your power, spirits of anger, hurt, rejecting back. I'll break the power of expectations I'm going to be rejected that would draw people to reject each other. I break the power of murder, shame, fear in the name of Jesus. All lies, I'm not safe. All spirits that came in through the lack of nurture, I come against breast cancer in the name of Jesus. Fear of rejection. Lord, I bind up their broken heart. I heal those broken hearts in the name of Jesus. I break the power of self-protection, fear of man, fear of not being vulnerable, fear of being vulnerable. I break the power of the lie that I'm the wrong sex. I break the power of disapproval, fear of man. Fear of what other people think. I break the power of compromise. I break the power of adultery, fornication, homosexuality. I break the power of self-rejection. I break the power of fear of saying no. I break the power of the lie that I have to always say yes. I break the power of the bitterness and the anger that comes in through saying yes when I really want it to be no. The spirit of cowardness that keeps me from standing up and saying, no, I can't this day. I've made other plans.
I break the power of bitterness, resentment, doormat spirits, allergies, asthma, all spirits of fear, unloving spirits, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, all spirits of unworthiness, every lie I'm not loved, every liar I don't fit in the name of Jesus, all idolatry of fear and end. Lord, if it glorify you the most for me to never fit in with the people I've been wanting to fit in with, then so be it. I break the power of all autoimmune diseases of the body attacking the body. All spirits that would cause my white blood cells to misinterpret and attack my body, I command you to go. All spirits of fear has to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of eye problems has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of lies and lying has to go. All addictions, I break your power. Pride, self-idolatry, I break the power of patterning myself after other people instead of the image of Christ. Rebellion, depression, eat and sleep disorders, I break your power. A wounded spirit, Lord, I heal their wounded spirits in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. I break the power of self-bitterness in the name of Jesus. Abandonment has to go in Jesus' name. Self-accusation, accusations of others, critical spirit, rebellion, rejection. Lord, I take the logs out of our eyes. Self-accusation has to go. Rejecting others has to go. Leave in the name of Jesus. All spirits of demonic fear of God has to go in Jesus' name. Fear of being vulnerable has to go. Isolation spirits has to go. Familiar spirits of forefathers has to leave in Jesus' name. False burden bearing, martyrdom, fear of false responsibility has to go. Excessive need for love, excessive need for approval, excessive need of acceptance has to go. In excessive needs for an identity. God has given us an identity in Christ. I command those lies to go. Double-mindedness, lust, fantasy lust, insecurity, oppression, depression, heaviness, rebellion, control, manipulation has to go. Ingratitude, discontentment, murmuring, complaining, muttering, deep hurt and wounding of the spirit coming out of rejection. Self-pity has to go. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. All the spirits, every spirit that came in through everything they've confessed has to leave now in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel released, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, I bless your children that from this day forward, and myself too, I bless us that from this day forward, you'll show us what you're trying to teach us through the difficult, rejecting, religious people. In Jesus' name, thank you for sanctifying us some more today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And Lord, we bless the food. To satisfy our physical hunger, we bless everyone in the kitchen. We bless the food not to make us fat, to burn calories, to kill cancer cells. We bless our food to boost our metabolism, our immune system. We bless the food to digest and to eliminate properly. And Lord, we receive it with thanksgiving. And we thank you that you sanctify it and purify it. And thank you, Lord, for another day of food in America. We give you praise in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.